Hello and welcome to the Gibraltar Business Podcast. I'm your host, David Ravagliate. In each episode, I am joined by a different guest and we discuss themes like leadership and running a business and explore loads of topical issues too. If you already know the show, well, welcome back. If you're just discovering the podcast, hello and where have you been? The Gibraltar Business Podcast is brought to you by the GFSB and is sponsored by Gibraltar International Bank, an institution that shares our passion for business. If you know the show, you'll know that today's episode is a little different. AI, artificial intelligence, has been a theme of many of my discussions on this podcast, but today my guest Daniel Brooks and I explore it in greater detail. Daniel is the founder of Ardentify, a firm that offers AI-powered solutions to its clients. He tells us exactly what they are during the interview. AI's adoption across local businesses has increased in recent months, and for many, it's revolutionizing how we live, how we work, and how we operate our businesses. AI is really high on the agenda at the GFSB too. To inform its members of ways that AI could benefit them, it ran a special AI lunch and learn event, which was delivered by today's guest. The current edition of its Thrive magazine explores AI in much more detail. In fact, today's episode forms part of its Thrive on AI feature. I really enjoyed talking with Daniel, learning so much more about AI, and I hope that you enjoy our discussion and take something back that can help your business. So Daniel, thank you for joining me on the Gibraltar Business Podcast.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
I usually start this question with all of my guests on the podcast, and you will come back to your specialism a bit later, but could you share with us your career journey to date, and maybe like your educational background, and what inspired you to set up Ardentify?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Manchester, in England, and at the age of 21, 22, I ended up going on a backpacking trip to Israel, which led to an 8-year journey in which I worked in the financial services and gaming and completed a degree in economics and politics. And I guess that set me on my journey, as I work for a lot of startups, wanting to kind of build and develop really useful, interesting, like kind of exciting full technology. So when I moved back to Manchester, at the time I was an operations director, and I was buying a lot of businesses out of insolvency and kind of turning them around. Yeah. I knew that I really wanted to kind of move into the startup world and develop my own technology. And essentially a couple of years ago, that's how Ardentify came about. So I was very lucky, you know, stars kind of aligned because one of my business partners is like an excellent data scientist with an amazing head for product. Between me, him, and another one of our business partners, we founded Ardentify. And Ardentify originally was set up to be able to identify signs of customer vulnerability, so potential mental health issues in conversational data. Because ultimately, like, we are kind of social beings. We talk all the time to each other. And I felt like no one's really analyzing those conversations that people were having in high-risk industries, whether that be live chat, email, or phone calls. So I really wanted to do something in that space. So we developed some really interesting models for kind of the world of ChatGPT and large language models to be able to do that. Nowadays, of course, that's become one module. And now what we ultimately do is we look at the full kind of customer journey. So if you've got a customer support function or a sales function, we analyze all the conversations that go through. We give you all the insights into what the customer wants, what they're thinking, how happy and sad they are. But we also do full QA on the customer agent. Are they performing as they're meant to? And it's grown from there, really, David.
Of course, and that seems like, you know, that is an area of growth for sure. And I know that for big tech, big firms, that technology is going to be completely valid and useful. How does that work? You know, what are the sectors that you're currently working with now? So where are the businesses that are really kind of using this technology that you've developed?
Yeah, I mean, we've got businesses working with us in an array of different places. We've got financial services. We've got gaming clients, like international, need multilingual support. We have customer support rooms. I think we have one like a car sales company as well that uses us. So there's a whole array of different businesses. We're talking a lot with government as well, work with charities that use the service. Essentially, if you have a touch point with a customer, then the tool is relevant for you.
Maybe one of those sectors is maybe what your link to Jib was, but actually that was one of my questions was like, what's your association with Gibraltar and does Identify have a presence here already?
Well, yes, it does. So my link is I've been coming over to Gibraltar regularly for quite a while. I'm a director in a gaming business that's incorporated in Gibraltar and has a presence there and staff. So I'm over at least quarterly. I'm kind of talking with many different businesses, especially in gaming in Gibraltar. And actually, the head of business development that I have for Identify, a lady called Daisy White, she lives in Gibraltar full time. So, I have a lot of kind of very close touch points in Gibraltar. So I'm over all the time. It's likely going to be more and more, I think, in the coming years.
Good, good, good. We're looking forward to that. And you know what? Since I've been doing this podcast and spoke to lots of people in lots of different sectors, I never fail to be amazed how many people how many businesses have a link to Jib, right? So,
yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I've worked predominantly in gaming and financial services, and a lot of those businesses I work with or worked for, and then it got involved from different levels are based in Gibraltar. Gibraltar's really punches for the size of the size of the peninsula. It really, really punches hard. So and that doesn't surprise me at all.
One of the reasons why we're having this conversation today, then, is about of course one of the core elements of the technology, which is AI, right? Mm-hmm. What I found definitely is the interest in and adoption of AI seems to have exploded in the last 2 years. What are your personal reflections on the current state of play with AI?
Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible, this growth journey. I mean, I kind of see it almost like pre-large language models and after large language models, because I think since the launch of ChatGPT and Google Genesis, the whole landscape has changed, especially when we're talking about generative AI. AI, it really creates headlines, doesn't it? Like it's always in the news, what's it going to do? I did the recent talk on, basically, will it take my job? And actually, I just think the opportunity for it are amazing. On one level, we're talking about a lot of things that we do repetitively in the workplace. We can a lot of automation and do a lot of really good stuff there, giving us time to focus on other things and to be able to really make things more efficient, to save money, make money. I think there's huge opportunities for that, just like on a daily level. And I think if you really look outside the box and kind of gaze into the future of what we could do with it, I think the opportunities are incredible.
And everything you said there, I kind of agree on. I think if you look at the concept of AI, right, the ones that maybe you and I grew up with, for me, certainly, it was very much like laboratories, kind of big AI robot, a kind of synthetic brain. It was very much a concept, something ethereal that we didn't kind of get. And ever since ChatGPT, it's kind of just gone boom, right? It's kind of now all of us have access to this kind of technology. So, of course, a lot of people are being kind of feeling threatened and kind of those sci-fi kind of stereotypes are coming through, right? How do you see now that the future looking like? Should we be that scared? Sorry to ask such a basic question, but I know that some of our listeners will be trying to still get their head around what this could mean for them.
I'm on the side that I don't think so. And the reason I don't believe we should be afraid of it is because humans by nature, we embrace technology and that's how we grow as a species. If you think in the last 60, 70 years, what we've kind of lived through, 50, 60 years ago, we were writing pen and paper on the desk, there's filing cabinets in the office, there was no TV, never mind the internet or mobile phones, definitely no Google search engines. So even in the workplace, if you think about how we've adapted and changed over the course of those years, it's incredible. And at home as well, think about all the technology that you now have in your house that your parents certainly didn't have and would be completely alien and science fiction to them.
It's true. Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we'll ask our speakers to play music now, and it's kind of natural, right? So, like, yeah, you're right.
Exactly that. So I feel like this is just the next step forward. It's the evolution of technology, and it's, you know, our children, this will just be the norm, that these tools and these options are available to us. And it's for us to embrace the possibilities and utilize what we have in front of us to enable us to grow and develop and improve our quality of life. And these things are always disruptive. You know, they always are. Like, and that may shift jobs from one area to another. However, it certainly, I don't believe, will reduce the amount of jobs. I think it will open up new opportunities that we haven't really thought about. Potential new industries. Look at the technology industry. It's huge how many jobs there are there. So, you know, AI will be part of that.
In what sense, though? Because, like, the way that where I'm looking, like, you've got maybe coders, people who are in highly technical jobs, that these are looking more and more that AI tools can kind of take on. Things like, for example, your firm is looking at how AI could be used to enhance security, but could AI then could be used to breach that system? Could it be used against? Like, what kind of, you know, from where you're sitting, how big is that risk?
I think there's always risks. And, you know, in some respect, we're talking about technology arms race. So I was working on a project, a bit separate from what we do day to day, but essentially the kind of problem statement is that, well, could you use AI to essentially co-opt children online, especially in game environments? So you could create scripts that reached out to the vulnerable, and essentially, you know, you need one bite of the cherry, and essentially maybe that person could be corrupted or brought into an unsafe environment. And the possibility to use technology for good and bad are both there. So it's about making sure that we understand the technology enough to put things in place against that and defend against it. And I think if we know that machine learning is there, which is AI, essentially machine learning, natural language processing, a few other things, then we would be kind of not doing our jobs correctly and kind of burying our head in the sand, not to also embrace it and to utilize it. Now, I believe there's a lot of good opportunities to use it in smaller businesses to enhance what people are doing day to day and improve services. But within larger businesses and stuff like that, and online, we need to ensure that we're savvy and we understand how these things can affect us.
And talking of that, like, and learning how to be more savvy, I know that you recently led a really kind of, because I popped in for when you were doing the talk. Mm-hmm. And it was buzzy. You recently led a really highly successful event at the GFSB, which was titled "The Benefits of AI to Your Business." How did this come about?
So there's, I did a similar talk for the Compliance Association and GIB, a gentleman called Carlos, who I met through another event, coincidentally. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy who runs that, also lectures at the university. I did a talk for him there as well. So essentially he made the introduction and said, would you, you know, we had the conversation and I was very willing to do that talk and just to bring people into it. It's an area that I'm passionate about. I find myself more and more these days doing these things. So obviously my bread and butter in day-to-day is the technology side of things. I've also got the Bet Comply, which is the compliance business, which is doing really well. However, on a personal note, I really enjoy doing the talks and training on these matters, because I feel like, for me, it's very obvious these days, you know, and it's part of my life using machine learning. Yesterday, I used ChatGPT. I'm going on holiday to Cyprus in 2 weeks. I used ChatGPT to tell me what to pack for my children. Gave me a long list. It was great. But these things are very natural for me to use to simplify my life. But for a lot of other people, they're not. And especially people who are business owners, It can be very confusing and difficult to kind of dig through what's going to help the business versus what's going to slow it down versus, you know.
I think so, Daniel. I think a lot of, you know, when you're looking at small businesses, and I think one thing is fair to say, unless you're a big kind of gaming firm, most of the businesses in Gibraltar are small when you compare them to maybe medium-sized businesses in the UK. It is overwhelming because you've got many hats and you're doing a lot of different things. So that example of like things, using it to do a list to pack is genius, but many people, as you say, may not have thought about it. Going back to that event that you ran for the GFSB, what was the response from participants?
It was amazing. So the room was buzzing. Yeah, it was great. We did some kind of like a little breakout sessions. You know, where people were really talking about how they can implement it, you know, potential pitfalls of implementing it, you know, and the possibilities, and just really kind of getting the teeth stuck into it. You know, and there were just so many questions. Like, I think, you know, we talked about an hour probably, and there was a good 20, 25 minutes at the end where people were just asking questions and debating and talking, and it was really positive. You know, and I really came away feeling like people have got some really good insights and things that they could potentially, you know, do within their own businesses. So, yeah, I really think that those kind of conversations, those meeting places, actually for whatever the subject might be on, are super valuable because it just allows people to share ideas, you know, and to brainstorm and think about how they can innovate and improve stuff.
What did you think was some of those key things? You know, because I guess you're doing a lot of these talks, you're talking to a lot of people, like, in all the different markets that you're working with. From that event, if you go back, what was some of those take-ups? What were the biggest concerns, I guess, from around the room?
I think probably the biggest concern was I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know it could be very expensive. You know, there was one or two about, you know, what harm could it do in the long term. But I, in general, I felt it was more along the lines of, well, how do I get started with this? I've got no idea where to start within the business. So I always say, well, what are your biggest pain points? You know, what takes the most time in your day? You know, that's repetitive task. You know, what could bring you a really good ROI? You know, what does your marketing look like? So basically, depending on the company, it's very simple to kind of ascertain quite quickly what are the pain points in terms of doing work and where could they make money? Where could they gain? Where don't they have the expertise? And as soon as you know that, well, straight away, then you start to think about, okay, fine. So let's just do a simple Google or use one of the AI tools to say, okay, well, I've got this thing. How could I use machine learning to help? And there's a ton of tools out there. And I think I gave in the presentation, like a couple of different tools that have AI in them that can help. So you don't necessarily need to build your own thing. There's a lot of stuff that you can buy off the shelf. And essentially you can start to use those and a lot of them have freemium models as well. To hopefully save money and bring value to the business. But listen, I'm here anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, what were you going to say? Finish.
No, I'm also like, if people ever want to know about these things, I'm available. Kind of, you can add me on LinkedIn or wherever. I'll happily give my 2 cents.
Thank you. So this is it. I think a lot of concerns that, you know, you mentioned, you compared AI to some of the technological advances that we would never have imagined that we work with, right, every day, and kind of it's the adoption kind of anxiety, I guess, right?
Yes.
If anyone's listening now and they're in that same boat, but maybe they missed your session and they're like, I don't know where to get started. I've got this problem that I need to solve at work. What do you recommend they do? Is it ChatGPT? Is there a platform that you use that you prefer as your go-to? How should they do it?
Well, I think there's several things. First of all, use me as a resource. I can direct you to the right place.
You know,
free to do that every day of the week. Yeah, and then I think the first thing is to do some research. So essentially, you'll have a problem statement, which is usually if you're thinking, I don't know what to do, there's an issue. So, you know, I have this issue and I want to go about solving it. So it's very simple advice, but I think that's what's needed for this at this stage is search that out. I put that problem statement to Google, or use something like Google Genie for it. Which is now Google Genesis, because it gives you, it'll give you links to resources. So say, I've got this problem statement, I want to save it. Is there a way to utilize AI or whatever to help with this? And straight away, a bunch of really interesting information will be provided to you. And then you can ask for links. Okay, this looks really good. I want to follow this up. Can you provide me links to relevant resources? And you can click through the links. So it's just a really easy way to do some research and use it as a tool to learn from initially.
I guess it is. You know, it's almost like it's similar. You know, we're talking in pretty basic terms here, but it's almost you go, you ask a question, but then you can kind of follow up and prompt it. And I guess those are the key things that are different, right? It's like the take it past the Google search.
Yes, it's a conversation. So yeah. With Google search, you this is where the kind of journey is going. With Google search, as everyone knows, you search like 10, 15 relevant articles will pop up. You have to go through them or read them all, and you kind of take the information that you need out. What machine learning really does is in this specific sense, it will summarize a lot of that information and give you kind of an answer, and it's more like a conversation. So then you can keep asking questions and it'll give you the relevant information that you need. And then at the point where you can then take that away essentially, and you can get links from these things, and it'll take you to a relevant website. But then you're essentially taking that information, and then you can do what you want with it, and you can go back to Google search and find the specific company and check that information. But it's a learning tool for you to be able to develop an idea. I recommend, it's quite fun just to go, it's very simple. You just put the URL in and just ask it some questions, you know, just see how it works.
I agree there's a lot of fun to be had, and I think it's something that you need to kind of as someone who uses it, you know, someone who uses it, I think it's that second the prompt and the follow-up is key, you know. And I think the way that you put it there, and I haven't heard it described as a conversation before, and it's a really nice way to relate to the technology, right? Because you might have some results given to you by ChatGPT or Google Genie, but you can then follow up and say, why is that? Or maybe improve it, or how would you critique this, and then use those critiques to do it again, kind of thing, right? So it learns from what you need. Is that fair?
Exactly. And that's how it works on a simple user interface level. On a business level, just taking it one step deeper, we can use a lot of the underlying intelligence to be able to find specific insights, and we can tailor that to our business use case. So, for instance, if a business wanted to, I spoke to a PR company earlier on, and basically they've got a fantastic idea to basically be able to filter through all the stuff online, about a specific topic, and find kind of the risks if you want to take a certain step in a business. It's an interesting proposal, but that's not the point. The point is that what they're doing to do that, similar to what we do, is they're using the large language models, so the training model specifically, to find answers to specific questions and put that in front of the person who needs to see it. And I think that in terms of business and how businesses are using this type of generative AI, LLM type models, it's basically being able to find the information that people need and give it to them within certain data. I think that's really massive at the moment, and there's a massive kind of arms race from all the existing companies and new startup companies trying to utilize that technology to provide better service to their end users.
It does feel like, and you know, that reference to an arms race or whatever, but it does definitely feel like a race, you know, going up how quickly things have progressed in the last kind of 18 months, and how they are going and how many different platforms are emerging. It definitely feels that way. Thank you, Daniel, for offering, I hope you don't regret it, but all listeners to kind of reach out to you direct if they have any questions. I have one last question, and it's a question that I ask all of my guests, actually. What would you say is the most crucial factor for a new business to succeed in today's environment? And sorry, just a second to that, is could you offer any advice to those considering launching their own enterprise?
Well, I think having a clear idea of what it is that you do as a business is super important. There's so many different avenues that you can go down and ideas, but knowing kind of who you are and what your DNA is, it is very, very important to success initially. I think for someone wanting to start a new business, if that is for you and that's something that you want to do and you have you want to take on that risk and that kind of up and down feeling, which I personally love.
Yeah, think about it.
It's I would recommend doing it. I think like having a clear idea of what you're doing and having that written out is important, and discussing it with people who are willing to listen and potentially challenge you. And to understand, take that feedback on board is essential. And you might ignore that feedback. If you really disagree with it, but basically listen to it. Really think about those challenges and what people are saying to you before launching. And basically speaking to as many people as you can, and networking is essential to early success, in my opinion.
Really brilliant. Well, thanks, Daniel. I think those definitely will resonate. You've got to. I've always found that in business, anyways, ask for lots of opinions and do listen. I would say, don't take that advice at your own peril, I guess, right? But thanks, Daniel, for your time today, and thanks for the insights on AI.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
So that's it for this special AI-themed episode of the Gibraltar Business Podcast. Thank you to Daniel Brooks for your time and your offer to take questions from my listeners. I really hope you don't regret that. As always, thank you to the team at the GFSB, our sponsor, the Gibraltar International Bank, and everyone who contributes to this project and keeps the podcast going from strength to strength. I hope you've enjoyed listening. Remember, you can catch up on any episodes you've missed anytime you like. So it's a goodbye from me until next week. Until then, keep pushing boundaries and stay curious. Stay inspired and see you very soon.